Welcome back to Dakota Midday on South Dakota Public Broadcasting. I'm Carl Gerke. Coming up a bit later in the program, SDPB's Charles McElray has a conversation with biodiversity expert Diana Wall of Colorado State University. She's receiving the Mines Medal from the South Dakota School of Mines and Technology tomorrow. But first, South Dakota's seasonally adjusted unemployment rate for August was 4.5%, one of the lowest in the nation. The national rate for August was 8.1%, nearly 4 points higher. However, a new report called The State of Working South Dakota 2012 from the Economic Policy Institute in Washington, D.C., suggests that the unemployment statistics don't accurately reflect the state's economic condition. The report was released yesterday by the Alliance for Economic Security during a news conference in Sioux Falls. That alliance is a group of agencies with a stated mission to advocate for strong communities and public policies to empower all South Dakotans, and the group includes South Dakota Voices for Children. Douglas Hall is director of the Economic Analysis and Research Network at the Economic Policy Institute, and he's the author of the report. He joins us on the line. Dr. Hall, thanks for joining us on Dakota Midday.
I appreciate you having me.
Well, when you looked behind the unemployment statistics in South Dakota, what is it that you found?
Well, you know, the really interesting thing, you know, as you dive into these numbers is, you know, anytime you're looking at a single number, you probably want to be looking for a variety of other numbers to get a more complete picture of what's actually going on. You know, and so the first thing that I notice is that, you know, despite the fact that you're right, that 4.5% unemployment rate is quite low compared to national standards, certainly one of the lowest, you know, even that 4.5% rate, first of all, is, you know, a couple of points higher than where South Dakota was going into the recession. You know, one of the first things we look at is growth in population over that period of time. And despite the fact that South Dakota is one of the few states that has gotten back the jobs that it lost during the recession, you would actually need to add about 15,600 more jobs in order to get to the same unemployment rate that you had going into the recession. So there's always that. Then the other thing, of course, is that, you know, the unemployment rate, you know, is an average of everybody. But what we know is that there's significant disparities based on age. So, for example, the unemployment rate for 2011 for young workers, those 16 to 24, was actually 10.6% in South Dakota. And then if you actually look at the American Indian population in South Dakota, the numbers there are truly astonishing. You know, while the overall unemployment rate in South Dakota for 2010 was 5%, for the American Indians in South Dakota, it was 22.2%. So you're talking about an unemployment rate that's more than four times higher. And, you know, based on what I heard when I was on the ground in Pierre a couple of weeks ago, you know, even that 22% number may be a significant underestimate of the actual number of folks who are not working when you factor in the folks that have fallen out of the labor force.
Speaking of the American Indian population unemployment rate, do you know how South Dakota compares with other states with a significant population of Native Americans?
Well, what I can tell you is that the overall, the U.S.-based American Indian unemployment rate was 15.5%. So certainly that 22.2 is much higher. And, you know, one of the other things that we see in the data is that, you know, education obviously has a significant role to play in helping folks, you know, acquire employment and retain it during tough times. And so, you know, the good news is that for those with a bachelor's degree or higher in South Dakota, the unemployment rate in 2011 was 1.8%. So that's a pretty enviable number. Unfortunately, the flip side of that coin is that for those with less than a high school education, their unemployment rate was 11.5%. So, again, you see this huge disparity that is far too easily masked by that single number that, you know, the 4-point-whatever percent it is, you know, from one month to the next, that, you know, on its own stands as a very positive economic indicator.
With the low education rate leading to unemployment, is that something that can be fixed simply by creating more opportunities for education?
Well, there's a couple of dimensions to that. First of all, there's no question that the long-term economic prosperity of South Dakota, you know, is very closely linked to, you know, ensuring adequate investment in education. You know, educating your labor force is a smart thing to do, and certainly at the level of the individual or the family, you know, anytime you have the opportunity to get more education, you should, and that will, you know, pay off in terms of higher wages. It's not, however, a solution to, you know, employment problems. I think there's a general misperception right now that if only we had more education and training, that suddenly jobs would appear. That's not, in fact, the case. The reason that we are lacking in employment right now is a lack of demand. And it doesn't, you know, whether I've got a bachelor's degree or a PhD, if there's not someone out there that wants the goods and services that I would have to offer, then, you know, I'm still unemployed. That said, what is very positive and true for South Dakota is that the trend lines on educational attainment are heading in exactly the right direction. So if you look at the period of time from, let's say, 1979 to 2011, you see that the share of people with a bachelor's degree or higher has gone from less than 15% to probably around 28%. That's exactly heading in the right direction, and you see the mirror image of that for those that lack a high school education. So South Dakota is doing things right. It's still got a little ways to go to catch up to the national averages in terms of educational attainment, but it's heading in the right direction, and that will continue to pay dividends for the South Dakota economy.
In the State of Working South Dakota 2012 report, you show that worker productivity has increased significantly. But hourly compensation has remained rather stagnant. What are the ramifications of that for the future of the state's economy?
Well, this is something we see, you know, really throughout the nation. It's certainly not a problem that's unique to South Dakota. You know, and it's part of what answers the question that we were addressing, you know, pretty substantially last year as a nation around all those, you know, Occupy, whether it's Wall Street or Hartford or Boston or San Francisco or wherever, all of those Occupy movements were driven by a frustration with growing income inequality. And part of what you're seeing with the gap between productivity growth and compensation is that, you know, folks are working hard or, you know, as hard or harder than ever. They're working longer hours, but they're not sharing in the full outcomes of their work. They're not the ones who are putting that dollar in their pocket that is earned from their work. You know, unfortunately, you know, too much of that is going to, you know, the very wealthy, you know, business owners or his shareholders, and not enough of that is going in the pockets of working families. We really do need to intentionally, you know, put policies in place to help to grow that middle class, you know, from the middle out. That's very much the right way to go.
Does your report take into account the cost of living in South Dakota? I would imagine that would make things look better than the report is suggesting.
Well, it's true that South Dakota is a state that has, you know, a relatively affordable cost of living, but that's hardly an answer to the problem that, you know, that wages have been stagnant for a decade. You know, because, yes, it's lower, you know, the cost of living is lower, but it's still been growing. And, you know, the ability of folks to sort of get ahead of that curve is really curtailed if folks at the low level, you know, at the 20th percentile, at the 10th percentile, even at the median, you know, if those folks are not seeing growth in their wages, then their ability to sort of get ahead of that curve and really, you know, live their version of the American dream is unfortunately really hampered.
Does the lack of a state income tax make wages in South Dakota a little bit better than what, again, the report is suggesting?
So the lack of a state income tax unfortunately has the really negative impact of putting in place a tax structure that is a classic regressive tax system whereby those who have the least pay the largest share of their incomes in taxes, and those who have the most pay the smallest share of their income in taxes. You know, if South Dakota were to adopt an income tax or to put in place something like a state-level earned income tax credit, that would benefit, you know, the economy as a whole, and it would certainly benefit those, you know, working families who are struggling to make ends meet.
No, we were talking about the the unemployment factor for American Indians, which is quite a bit higher. I'm wondering, beyond that, for the rest of the population, the non-Native population, is there much wage disparity and an unemployment disparity?
You know, again, that disparity, you'll see that fairly starkly shown by educational attainment, for example. I think I mentioned that those with a bachelor's degree have a much lower rate of unemployment. So, you know, again, as with all averages, there's going to be some variation. You know, and what I normally do is I'll compare what's going on in that state to what I see in, you know, in neighboring regions or at the national level, for example.
How does, you know, you mentioned the comparison, how does South Dakota compare to other states in the region? Are the problems that you mentioned in the report, are they unique to South Dakota, or are these regional things that we all have in common?
Well, I think it's kind of a combination of the two. And I guess I would say that my perception has been that South Dakota, because it's had such a low unemployment rate during the recession, is sort of being looked to as sort of somehow an exception to whatever trends are going on nationally. And when I look at things like the stagnant wage growth over the past decade, that's exactly the story that the Economic Policy Institute has been telling in its newly released State of Working America report of a lost decade. So in some respects, South Dakota, you know, is much more close to, you know, the national norms than I think folks within South Dakota might actually think.
Now, the concept of the lost decade, what is that?
Well, that's just, again, this notion that that wages have been stagnant, and so the ability of families, you know, at virtually every single income level, right up until that very top level, have had a decade where they're not getting ahead. You know, they're spinning their wheels, they're working as hard as ever or harder, but they're not getting ahead. It's not being reflected in the wages that they're paid.
And the future for South Dakota, how does that look?
You know, the future of South Dakota, I think, as with many states, is somewhat up to folks, you know, policymakers within the state to determine. You know, if South Dakota takes the high road and invests in education, ensures that, you know, we have high quality early care and education, which we know pays off huge dividends, ensures that, you know, everybody, regardless of race or ethnicity, you know, is along for the ride. There's no reason to think that South Dakota can't, you know, continue to prosper, you know, to a greater extent than it has right now.
Well, Dr. Hall, thanks so much for taking the time to join us on Dakota Midday.
Well, I appreciate your interest in this topic. I think it's really important to really get a sense of what the economy looks like from the perspective of working families.
Douglas Hall is director of the Economic Analysis and Research Network. He's the author of the report, The State of Working South Dakota 2012, that came out yesterday from the Economic Policy Institute in Washington, D.C., a nonpartisan, nonprofit think tank. Coming up after a short break, Diana Wall of Colorado State University looks at the tiny bugs living in the soil everywhere from Africa to Antarctica. She's acknowledged as one of the leading experts on biodiversity, and she's being honored tomorrow by the South Dakota School of Mines and Technology with a Mines Medal. And she speaks with SDPB's Charles Michael Ray about the importance of soil sustainability. I'm Carl Gerke, and you're listening to Dakota Midday on South Dakota Public Broadcasting.